We cross over to Professor Lyle White, who's a research associate at the Brain Test Foundation, also founder of the organization Contextual Intelligence, talking about Latin America. Good morning, Lyle. Thanks so much for joining us. Were you also waiting up till the early hours of this morning, getting in those first trickle of results in the much-anticipated Brazilian presidential election, Jair Bolsonaro and Lula da Silva? Is this Lula's second Lula moment?
Yeah, good morning, Lester. It's good to hear you on this Monday morning. Just following the biggest, literally the biggest, most controversial election in Brazilian history. And as you correctly stated, yeah, we all stayed up because it was electronically captured. So the results were literally coming out just 2 hours as the voting polls closed. And so we saw voters that went to the polls in what has been coined now the most polarized presidential election in the country's history. Brazilians voted in this election, and they would see it's basically the world's most populous democracy switch potentially, as you said, from right-wing to a left-wing leader, a right-wing populist to perhaps maybe a left-wing populist. And with a population of 220 or nearly 220 million people in Brazil, voting, we should remind the listeners, is compulsory for nearly 160 million Brazilians. They are eligible to vote. The incumbent, as you mentioned, Jair Bolsonaro, we all know him as really the Trump of the tropics. He is seeking a second term. After 4 years in power, but is being challenged by the ex-president, Lula da Silva, who incidentally is returning to the top of Brazilian politics 20 years after he became president. Now, the only real question, I suppose, right now, or as we are seeing the numbers come in, is that will Lula actually lead who was leading by double-digit figures over Bolsonaro, will he achieve a 50% majority? And I think the simple answer is no. What's happened is the Brazilian president Jair Bolsonaro managed enough of a rally in votes right in the dying hours to secure a runoff with Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva on the 30th of October. Lula secured 48%, and I'm sure this has come through in the news now. And again, and Bolsonaro secured 43%, falling just short of an outright victory. But Lester, the other interesting question now is obviously leading up to this, there was a big debate around whether Bolsonaro would accept the results, and he has spent months riling up his supporters with baseless doubts about the credibility of the electoral system. And I suspect now that these results have silenced all of that.
Very much Bolsonaro echoing Donald Trump. I remember watching a campaign rally of his where he says there are only three outcomes to this election. Either he wins, either he gets arrested, or either he gets killed. And that is very, very ominous signs for whether Bolsonaro accepting the legitimacy of this election. But quite interesting about an electronic voting system. These numbers are almost immediate. And late last night, I got sent the results for voting year in Cape Town. So if Cape Town, with Brazilians here living in Cape Town, and if Cape Town was the litmus test, Lula da Silva would have won by 52.9%, Bolsonaro with 31%. That's out of the representatives of Brazilian citizens living here in Cape Town. But let's move to the Caribbean, where last week there was a historic vote when it comes to human rights, particularly when it comes to the recognition of LGBT rights. What is a family? Very important familial questions being asked in a Cuban poll of last week, Lyle.
Yes. So Cuban's ruling Communist Party, which once sent gay men to forced labor camps, they oversaw a national referendum last week on whether to change the legal code to allow LGBT couples the right to marry and adopt children. Now, the referendum passed by 67 to 33, so pretty convincing. And although activists called the changes necessary, they also criticized the context in which the vote was carried out. The government, which backed the changes, planned the plebiscite in a top-down, propaganda-heavy style rather than engaging with local advocacy groups. And the development is a bittersweet piece of news amid ongoing repression of activism in that country, in Cuba. Cuba has carried out crackdown on activism on all kinds since nationwide street protests that we saw last year in that country. And in December, this December coming, it will implement a penal code that allows prison sentences for up to 5 years for, how about this, for being a dated prison sentence, for criticizing government. So that's just something else that's coming out of the Caribbean.
And then finally, a football sticker collection crisis in Argentina. These are the same football stickers that we used to collect as kids, yeah, when the World Cup comes around.
You remember those lessons? You're giving away your age, yeah. You're giving away your age, but indeed it is, and we always hear about all the other political and economic crises in Argentina. Yep, they've got a sticker crisis as well, a moment of crisis among Argentine soccer fans. And I must emphasise, they say it's particularly children, but I can probably argue that it might not be. But it moved the government last week in Argentina to host talks on the World Cup fan sticker distribution. Now the collectible stickers, they printed each tournament to be traded and displayed in booklets, as we know. Yeah. They were in short supply in the street side kioscos in Buenos Aires and other parts of the country. And the parents were frantic about this. After the emergency talks in government, the company that produces the stickers committed to ensuring its supply would reach the kioscos. Now, we know that the World Cup, for the listeners who don't know, begins in Qatar at the end of November, and Argentina are definitely one of the front runners.
So those old Panini sticker album books. I think I still may have a tattered book somewhere in a box in the garage. But Professor Lyle White, with a view on Latin America, looking forward to chatting to you in 2 weeks' time.